Hello humans, and welcome to this bonus episode of Audio Face, where we are going to be previewing the Black Keys' newest album, Let's Rock, because it's the latest in a long line of rocky albums from the Black Keys.
Yeah, a plethora of music from them.
Yeah.
The Ohio band, the Ohio duo, right?
Yes, Dan Auerbach and Patrick Carney. Dan Auerbach does guitar and vocals.
Auerbach does a lot of shit.
Among other things. Then Patrick Carney does drums. They started the band in Young Akron, Ohio, LeBron Town, in 2001. And they kind of started as like garage rock, blues rock kind of thing. They wanted to take the kind of like Motown vibes of blues and country, but obviously not make country. They're definitely more working towards rock. Like a renaissance of rock back in that time of the 2000s when rock was still very much like
thousands in the
having
early 2010s.
A peak point.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about when they started.
Oh, yeah.
But they were trying to reinvent rock when it was definitely having a good peak point, but it was definitely seeing a
this is a change.
Crest into alternative and pop. Especially.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's, yeah, the turn of the century. Kid A started that whole revolution of, oh, cool, we can add electronic to rock music and make it new? Cool.
Yeah, which the Black Keys, to their credit, resisted for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even Brothers, which is, like, for a lot of people, like, the breakout Black Keys album, it's very sparse on keys, like, actual Black Keys. It's not until El Camino where you can definitely tell there's a lot of piano and, like, any electronic, like, influence in it a lot. But they've stuck, like, pretty true to rock itself. And so I was aware of them around Thick Freakness, which is their second album, I guess you could say. Before that, they made The Big Come Up, which, was just their, like, big come-up thing. They released it in 2002, and I don't know much about that, other than that they were really just trying to send around stuff to whoever would listen to it.
Which is what, you know, most acts, especially in the early 2000s, you could do, and just be like, here's a CD, listen to my shit. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, eventually there was a show that got used. There's a song that got used for an HBO show. Hung, I'll Be Your Man got used for the HBO show Hung. And in order to help fund the tour, Auerbach and Carney took jobs mowing lawns for a landlord.
Fuck you. Freedom fighters out here, man.
So talk about The Big Come Up. It didn't sell well, but I mean, I guess people just fell in love with that story, understandably. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And so from there you get into Thick Freakness, which I love because you have like the young, very badly photoshopped Royal Crown gel hair gel case redone. And I just felt them, they got a little more fun. They're still very rowdy and like lo-fi here, because I think the first original album they recorded on like 8-track tapes, and it was really like about the music for sure. And that's to say they didn't have a lot of money, but you could feel the energy and sound they were trying to do. They're still reinventing it around the edges. It was still kind of like any band. They're kind of figuring things out, and not everything's perfect sounding, and looking back even in a bubble, it's probably not the like most listenable thing, but you can definitely tell like, oh, they're super on to something. You can never understand. Never. I remember the tears were in my eyes. River town is burning. After Thick Freakness, there's Rubber Factory, which was like, I still, I don't know. At that point, Rubber Factory and Thick Freakness almost like blend in together. It's not, they're definitely different sounding albums. I think Rubber Factory did their first attempt at something that was a little bit more refined. Girl is on my mind. Girl is on my mind.
But well, that's a problem if you have albums back to back for the most part, is sometimes they're from the same recording studios and they can be a bit too of the same. You can have it different, but especially on a newer band, it's hard to
and they were
differentiate from that.
Yeah, newer bands.
They were early on then.
I think they have a lot of energy. often, mm-hmm. where they want to get their best ideas out in the forefront, like as soon as possible. And they just have so many ideas. Music is so interesting to them. They're just like kind of throwing things mm-hmm. against the wall to see what sticks and what works well, which you're allowed to do at a certain point. Through Rubber Factory, Chalumo was a little bit of a shorter like bonus thing they did with a few songs on it. And then Magic Potion, I felt like was the closest thing to a turning point for them because it came right before Attack and Release. And mm-hmm. I felt like it marked the end of this like almost amateurish Black Keys, if you will.
Yeah.
Where I think lyrically they started to really come into their own here because they're so distinctive with their instrumentation, with the way they sound, but lyrically the Black Keys are on a whole different planet. I mean, in a good way.
Right.
And on here, they kind of really started to write songs that explored depth and emotions in the way that you would start to see pop up again more in future albums. But that brings us to Attack and Release, which is when you started listening to the Black Keys.
I didn't hear the Black Keys until Attack and Release. That's why I let Dan kind of come in on it. So Attack and Release, I liked. I think there's a lot of 2008 was one of those years of music that was just godly. But I thought they were good. I liked, ironically, I liked his song called Psychotic Girl. On some of my playlists, and that was a song to me where I go, okay, these guys, they've got something special in them, you know, like, especially in the right before the 2010s, I go, okay, these guys, they're a good band, I want to see what they can do later on in music. The whole album, I liked it, it had that rock theme, you can start to hear, like, the Black Keys have a very distinct sound, the way they do, especially their guitar, the muffled. I don't know what effect they have or what specific pedal they use to muffle the guitar sound, but it's very specific to them. It's like a Muzz pedal that like the Smashing Pumpkins uses in the early 90s, but they put a modern twist on it so it doesn't sound too muffled when they use it for the distortion. And you can start to hear that a little bit in Attack and Release throughout their music, and I did like that. And I go, okay, they can do something with this. They have good lyrics. The production's started to get pretty smooth and everything, and I did like that album. I thought I got overshadowed by so much other music I was listening to in 2008 at the time, but I did like it, especially Psychotic Girl. I did like that song. I remember listening to that a lot on that album. Yeah. I had it as a CD. I remember listening to that repeat and then the album scratch because you know when you listen to a song on repeat a lot and it's so there's a part in Psychotic Girl until I got the where when the like iPhone started to get popular iPods, then that's when I got iPod. I'm like, oh cool, because there's a part in Psychotic Girl where halfway the song I go and then it start playing again. So it was funny when that happened. Would you like Attack and Release, correct?
Yeah. Again, I know what comes after Attack and Release.
Yeah, so and then obviously in 2010.
Yeah, because like there's basically everything from the big come up through Thick Freakness, Rubber Factory, Cholula to Magic Potion. Attack and Release is definitely like the big middle flag. And then
Brothers
On is then when you have like
really this is when they start to get huge.
This is when the Black Keys go, oh.
Yeah, this is when they become like headlining festivals and stuff. Brothers is their breakthrough album for sure. I mean,
every song on it.
Every
great.
Song on it is really damn good. Howlin' for You. All right. There's something wrong with this plot. The actors here have not got a clue. Baby, I'm howling for you. Tighten Up.
Next girl.
Pistol. Howling for You is probably the one that had the most commercial success, I believe.
Howling for You, but definitely Tighten Up.
Tighten Up? Okay, I couldn't remember which one would have the most commercial. Well, yeah, I know those two you'd hear like all over the stuff. Those two for sure. And that's what got them huge on radio, on mainstream radio, in the US, in the UK, all over the world, really.
Yeah.
And they started to really headline festivals and stuff. I know they headlined Coachella in 2012. So that's after El Camino as well. But Brothers is a perfect album for the start of the 2010, for that start of this decade.
Yeah.
Because it was a good theme of, this is alternative rock, and this, at that theme, is the peak of alternative rock for me, because you had so many other bands that are making damn good music. But it felt modern, it felt new, a good twist in kind of combining genres of folk, indie, alternative, experimental, alternative, and rock all into one album, and it is damn good. Very, very good. And then you have El Camino, which I think is better.
Like, it's really hard to follow up with an album like Brothers, and like...
El Camino...
is better.
Is one of the... one of the 15 albums that I can say is pretty much perfect from top to bottom, to where there's no filler song, there's nothing that seems out of place. I do not have a complaint of El Camino.
I could safely put El Camino in the top 10 albums of the 2010s.
Like, I would put it in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
It's not in one. I already know what
it
is.
It wouldn't be, I specifically said, not top 5.
Yeah, it's top 10. Definitely top 10. So, like, 6 through 10. 100%. Yeah. It would be, like, 7th on the top 10.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I would say...
top to bottom.
Really fast. Brothers, near the end, like, after 10 Cent Pistol, there were some songs that I said, okay, these are a little bit extraneous.
It's a pretty long album.
El Camino, on the other hand...
there's no fillers, there's nothing.
Everything's perfect. Like, it's a hard hitter every single one.
And it starts with Lonely Boy, which is a banger of a damn track.
I remember when that single came out, and it was just, like, the guy dancing.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Holy crap.
Gold on the Ceiling and Little Black Submarines got played almost, honestly, just to shit. Like, you almost got sick of the radio playing.
Yeah, I did. That was my only problem with the Black Keys, is not them, it's getting overplayed, and that's my problem with a lot of stuff in the 2010s, but that's when I started listening to MBE.
Right.
It was actually around 2010, 2011 is when I started listening to Morning Becomes Eclectic. I started to notice, because they're playing Foo Fighters a lot, to the point where I was getting sick of them. The Black Keys, because like Little Black Submarines, I'm like, okay, this is the 80th time I've heard this song.
And they never played the full version of Little Black Submarines,
because
the radio edit forgot the part in the beginning, because the album version has a one-minute intro to it,
basically.
Really, like, it's definitely lighter and isn't good for radio, like not friendly for radio.
Yeah.
Oh,
can it be? The voice is calling me. They get lost in out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken heart is blind. That a broken heart.
But it makes the song so beautiful. And
it makes the song
build
better.
Up
yeah.
So much more better, because
the problem on the radio edit is it feels rushed and it feels very empty, but the full album version is a lot better. And then you get to their latest album in 2014, Turn Blue, which has one of my favorite songs of the 2010s, which is Fever.
Fever is amazing.
We also have to have a top 10 tracks in the 2010s as well. I'd love to do like a list of top 10 albums and top 10 tracks for the 2010s. Fever would probably be in one of my top 10.
I'm literally getting chills thinking about this album because of like how good some of the songs are.
So this is when we were in high school. I remember in that time, because it was still when 2014 is an interesting year. Music was a lot of stuff was starting to change, because that's when electronic was starting to become a little bit in. You had some bands going back to their sounds, like Muse going in the opposite direction of Drones, which I think was a problem for them. You had other bands kind of continuing on. You had a plethora of indie getting big, because that's when you had Monsters and Men coming out with some other music.
Yeah. You had a lot of stuff happening in the electronic scene
exactly,
as well. Like Avicii was just coming around, but you also had like...
Disclosure came out a year before, but they got big in 2014.
Yeah.
And some other stuff. And then the Black Keys released this as kind of a
like 2014 was the last 2019 to me. Like, where there's just so much good music coming
2016.
Out with like Hallmark.
2016 is one of my favorite years. Because you have the 1975 release about Radiohead.
I mean,
you have a lot.
2014, 2016, and 2019. Those are three damn Hallmark
good
years.
And then last year was good too. Yeah,
like, this is already better.
Yeah,
for me. Yeah.
This, but last year you had. No, yeah, okay, I can see that, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
This album is great. It's top to bottom, it's good. Fever, even though it got played a lot on the radio, granted, I didn't. That's when I really stopped listening to the radio because I thought it was all bullshit. I still listen to that track today. Like, I'll listen to it on repeat if I get in a mood for the Black Keys.
Nothing is a better nor more hilarious breakup, I'm over a relationship song than Gotta Get Away.
Yeah, that's a damn good track.
What were the lyrics like, from San Maru to Kalamazoo just to get away from you?
It's like, that's rough. It's you don't want to see that woman anymore.
And especially like a lot of Black Keys songs are about like love and loss and how intense that is. So mm-hmm. I love when artists do a flip of that.
Yes.
I think it's done in pop with like Taylor Swift and shit. But yeah,
naturally.
I just can't register it. But even still, I will say I didn't like Turn Blue as much as El Camino. El Camino is just like number one Black Keys album because of its perfection. I felt like Turn Blue did the brothers thing where near the end it got a little bit loose on its legs. Mm-hmm. But I would rank Turn Blue above brothers. So like what the Black Keys did, which makes them amazing, is music's phenomenal, of course.
I mean, Dan Auerbach is a damn good musician. We liked his solo album 2 years ago as well.
Yeah, his solo album is good. The Black Keys have made it into culture. Dan Auerbach and his dad mm-hmm. wrote the theme song to BoJack Horseman.
Yep.
In between the Black Keys just figuring it out. The Black Keys created Black Rock.
Yep.
What's secretly one of the best rap projects of all time, where they got the Black Keys doing instrumentals for a bunch of different, like, 90s indie artist. Mos Def did a track on mm-hmm. it, Uchi Koo. These are just people who just contribute to making music better.
Danger Mouse?
I'm pretty sure they...
I swear they did. I would like to say they did something Danger Mouse.
I thought the album was produced with Danger Mouse.
That's
one
what
of the
I
albums
thought.
Was.
Yeah. I thought Brothers was produced by Danger Mouse. If I recall correctly.
All of them have been.
Wait, all Attack of them dead us.
Since Attack and the Release, they've been produced by Danger Mouse, which is probably why they're so amazing.
Holy shit. Needless to say,
this is why I love Danger Mouse so much.
Danger Mouse is one of the best producers in the world.
Thank you.
You know, he really is. Deadass. So, okay, I've only listened to Go and their singles. I haven't listened to anything else because.
I've only listened to Lo High.
I haven't even listened to Lo High. All right, have I listened? Okay, I'm blanking.
I think we had Lo High as a
was
new
it
single.
Okay, yeah. Well, I only listened to one single because I wanted to be surprised.
The integrity.
Album. Normally, if it's an artist I like the 1975, I went on the singles and I put them on repeat over and over again because I'm crazy like that.
Yeah.
But these ones, I'm like, I want to be surprised for the Black Keys. I want to see what they can do.
I think they have a lot of tricks up their sleeves. Mm-hmm. They are a band I trust to do really good shit.
Oh, always.
And we will know about that later this week when the album review comes out. So in episode 102, you'll be able to hear our Black Keys review, but that's not it. We'll also have another amazing musician who we would do a 5-hour podcast if we did a bonus episode for him, Tom York.
We should have done a bonus episode on Tom York.
That would have been 5 hours long.
That would have been like a Joe Rogan sit down of just 8 hours. We need a lot of weed in that episode.
We literally don't have enough time to even record all of that shit.
No.
I don't have enough card space.
No.
And then we have Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, which I'm saying might be the next Mad Villainy. I'm just saying, might be. Has all the makings of it.
I hope. Or it can crash and burn like a Boeing
737 MAX 8. Anyways, this has been Audio Face. Thank you for this bonus episode. We like doing these bonus episodes for, just
people.
In general, for the people, as extra stuff to teach people about music. But check out our regular episodes where we talk about music news and music mm-hmm. culture and stuff that mostly matters. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez.
I
can be
you.
Found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And the show can be found on Twitter and Instagram on Audio Face Pod. Check that out because we'll be having a bunch of stuff on there mm-hmm. very soon. And we'll talk to you also very soon. Cheers.
Bye.